93.7 The River, River City's Classic Rock, Dog and Joe Show. There goes ZZ Top. Coming up, hopefully we'll get the phone lines working and we'll get service restored. Our apologies. Something happened with a power outage and AT&T service disrupted. We don't have any phones. You can't call us at 766-9370. So like I said earlier, just stuck sitting here talking to Joe and Dana. The Dana part, that's exciting. But Joe, that's miserable. It's just not fun. But what we had installed a week or so ago was this two-way walkie-talkie intercom system.
Yeah.
For heterosexual Anderson Cooper. His desk is down the hall, and every time we would talk like music or we would talk something about what's your deal, we'd get into a conversation, he'd always run down the hall. He's like, hey, I want to share something. Well, we have a delay. So he would always miss out on the conversation. So we said, hey, why don't we get you a walkie-talkie, because you don't do anything else around here, and a headset, and that way we could call you when we want, or you could call us, and we could put you right on the phone, just like you'd be in the studio. So you don't have to run all the way down the hall here at the iHeartMedia Megaplex. So
I just want our boss to know that was Dog, in case he's listening right now to that small little radio in his office, yeah, and he can't tell the voices. That was Dog that said you don't do anything.
Yeah,
I know you work hard here.
Yeah, and why does he get here this early?
Because he's a hard worker.
No, he doesn't. He shows up and he acts as if he's doing something. Radio guys that aren't on the air now have no business being in this office.
I think he's babysitting right now.
Oh, he's babysitting.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because Joe.
Well.
Because of Joe. He has to.
You automatically go to me with that.
Yeah, because everybody's always like, is Joe going to show up today? I think that's why he comes in, to force you into coming here.
I don't think the listeners
are
wondering.
That's what I was implying.
Yeah, I mean, the only one of us that hasn't shown up here for a day is you.
I got sick.
Well,
I got sick. I was sick. I had the flu.
Would that have counted for me, Dana? No, it would not have.
Let's try the intercom here. So this is what we do. We go like this. Okay. Let's see if we get Curtis.
You better be sexual. Nice.
Anderson Cooper.
iHeart Media Megaplex programming layer.
Oh, Curtis, look at that. There he is.
That's a fancy.
I like that.
Hey,
I don't have a secretary, so I have to get that all, you know.
Yeah.
We're working on that for you, boss.
An executive assistant, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Ha-ha. Curtis, the reason we called you, and there's only one reason, we're bored. Our phone lines don't work, so we're hoping you can entertain us.
You need me to pad the entertainment of your show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
That's how low we've gone.
And it's low.
Have you looked at your contracts lately? And what's required of you?
Do you have
to make the medium bucks that I pay you?
Yeah. Do you have any Guns N' Roses stories? Do you have a good rock and roll story that you could share? Because you've done this now for what, 68, 69 years or so?
Oh my goodness.
Close to that. I saw them at the Mason Jar, a little tiny club, which is probably half the size of Ace of Spades here in town.
Okay.
When nobody ever knew them. So, but no.
You don't have any. But no! You don't have any G&R stories?
I knew.
Remember, he was the one who said he was a big baby, that Axl was a big baby.
Well, no direct contact with these guys other than Slash a couple of times where he came into the station to do interviews, but no juicy, gossipy stories or anything else like that. I was one of those guys sitting out in the audience or backstage waiting for Axl to subside his tantrum we got on stage at, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning when they were touring with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And I saw the Metallica dates and where they were touring on those shows and that sort of thing. But yeah, nothing backstage or anything like that. So
give
other
us
bands.
Yeah. Give us, I want a good story. Can you share with the River Rockers what you did backstage with Men at Work, or do you not want to share that?
Really?
No, we better not talk about that story.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Although it was fun with Colin Hay coming back in, cause I hadn't seen him in about 30 years and nor did he remember me, but you know, he probably shouldn't have, considering what was going on backstage.
Oh my.
Yeah. So any other juicy rock details? Give us one. You got to have one good one that you could share, because you've seen everybody.
You know, one of my best stories, as far as experiencing it, was Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. I was working down in Phoenix one time and Jimmy was on like the Outrider tour, one of his solo tours or something like that. Notorious guy, you know, he always had drug problems, that sort of thing. He was very unreliable, all of this stuff. And We had given away a guitar, and the winner was going to be able to go backstage before the show and get it autographed from Jimmy and that sort of thing. So we go back there. This was before the house even opened or anything else like that. The girl that won it,
Hold on, Curtis. I have to pause you because what Curtis said, this was before the house opened. This was before the house went hot or went live. What he's referring to is there was no one in yet. They hadn't opened the gates for the concert.
Completely empty. Just Jimmy's crew and the promoters and that sort of thing. So I take her backstage. We're standing around with the guitar. There's the record company person there, that sort of thing, and we're kind of waiting for everything. The place is completely empty. And all of a sudden, a guy kind of like leans over our shoulder and goes, "Oh, you must be the guitar winner." And ended up being, and he had an English accent, and I'm not even going to try to do the English accent because it'll be awful. He was Jimmy's guitar tech. We'll call him Nigel for the sake of it, because they're all called Nigel.
Yeah, that's a great English guitar tech name. Okay.
"You must be the guitar winner." And I go, "She actually plays in a local band called such and such." And the guy's face like lit up, because it's usually people that, eBay didn't exist at that point in time, but, would sell it or whatever. It didn't really matter that much, that sort of thing. She was an actual guitar player. And he goes, "Really?" And he starts talking to her, and all of a sudden they go into complete guitar geekdom together. I ask how she likes it set up, and this and that, what does she play, and the whole deal. All of a sudden, Jimmy Page's guitar tech is doing a complete setup on this girl's guitar, so that she can play it, and that's that sort of thing. And I'm standing there over my shoulder going, "Oh, this is so cool," program director of the radio station, the afternoons there. And I look over my shoulder, and standing next to me is Jimmy.
Oh.
And he's kind of leaning over going, "What's going on?" And Nigel whips around and goes, "This is our guitar winner. And Jimmy, she plays guitar."
Oh, that is cool.
Really? So Jimmy Page's face lights up as well. Starts talking to her about guitars and this and that. And pretty soon he's walking her around this empty stage. The house is completely empty. And showing her, the double-neck guitar that Jimmy played, his number one Les Paul. He's, throwing this over the girl's shoulders and everything, going, "Feel how heavy that is? Can you imagine walking around on stage with that?" And this little girl, she's, 5'2" or 5'3" or something like that. I say little girl, she's probably in her late teens or 20s or
something. Yeah,
yeah. So all of a sudden, he's going, "Hey, bring up the bins," which are the monitor bins on stage, and they plug in, and Jimmy starts giving her little guitar lessons, and she starts playing. He spends about 45 minutes with her, and they're doing little jams, and he's showing her riffs and all of this stuff on stage. He signs the guitar, goes, "I gotta go now," and he leaves, and it was that was probably the best radio promotion rock star encounter that you could possibly ever have. It was a very, very cool experience.
That is cool. Think about that.
We'll never forget that as long as she lives. Yep. That is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, either will the winner.
Yeah. And then to put the capper on the story, Jimmy's all very loosened at that point in time. I see him about an hour and a half later or so on stage, and it looks like he's just completely drugged out.
He doesn't even remember it happened.
And he played impeccably. I don't know how he did it.
Wow. There you have it. Story time with heterosexual Anderson Cooper. Yeah. We'll probably be checking in with you from time to time a lot today, because we don't have phones and we're bored.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in meetings. I've got conference calls. I'll make up something.
Yeah, there he goes.
Okay, later, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. There he goes. Curtis Johnson, story time. I think we're going to start story time with him here and there.
I think we should.
Story time with Pop.
Yeah, I want him to tell the Men at Work story sometime. Maybe we can get a couple, Jimmy Page type drugs in him, or we could throw a couple drinks down his throat, and he could spill that one out, because that is one of those stories that makes you rub your hands together and go, "Ooh, that is juicy."
That's one of them stories that made me wish I was a little bit older. I could have been there with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see Joe back there doing that story.
We went to jail that night.
Yeah.
Oh.
Coming up, we'll give you the cash right now. Hopefully we'll get the phone lines restored and hook you up with those G&R tickets. That's what started this whole thing.
That's right.
But we got to get the phone lines fixed first. Here comes the money. Double pay work day. It's $1,000.